We've been going through a series. We're doing a series on faith at the moment. And I don't know if God's going to stop soon. We might be going on for quite a while. But I've been challenged and I've been blessed so much about this series. But praise God with faith that even if you haven't heard the first seven parts, you know, I'm sure you haven't missed and you won't miss anything. And I know that you guys from Shofar Century City are well acquainted in the Word of God and the things of faith. So we'll catch up quite quickly on this one. And it was in last week's sermon already that I really just sensed God wanted to highlight a specific area of our lives concerning faith. And He wanted to bless us and hopefully stir that in our hearts. Let's just close our eyes and trust God to just impart His seeds so that it will bear fruit in our lives. And we just don't hear a sermon, but it changes our lives. Father God, thank You that man's faith will not be based on my words, but Your Holy Spirit and power. Thank You, Lord, just for Your impartation. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your fire. Thank You for Your word that is a double-edged sword. And thank You, Lord, that Your word will establish what it's set out to do in our lives today, Lord. In our lives, and those in the mother's room, and whoever listens to Your message, we just thank You that it will bring forth Your harvest. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. We want to be a people full of faith. When Jesus walks in this room, Lord, we want to be a people full of faith. We want Him to find faith in our hearts by Your grace. In Jesus' name, have Your way. Amen. Amen. Now, faith is something that's quite near to my heart. And since I got saved, God has just been working out His faith and His gracious faith in my life. The faith is not something that you can conjure up and you can do, but it's something that God gives us by His grace. Now, we've stepped and we've walked a long road about this topic thus far. You can just go to the next slide, but the one or two important things that we said to one another is, like Stephen in Acts, we want to be a people full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And like the Lord said in Luke 18, He said, "But when I return, will I find faith?" Will, when the Messiah comes back the second time, will He actually find faith amongst Christians, amongst us? Or will we just look like the rest of the world? So that's just something that stirs my heart. I want us to be a people full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And I trust that when Jesus walks into your house, when He walks into your quiet time, when He walks into your heart, that He'll find a lot of faith. We said relationship. If you tell me, Ratif, oh, I've got a little bit of faith, I've got no faith. In love, I'll say you, if you've got a little faith, you'll probably have a little relationship with the Lord. If you have no faith, you probably have no relationship with the Lord. And it's not a condemning, condescending type of thing. It's just a reality check sometimes to see that relationship grows, accordingly our faith will grow. So as our faith grows, many times our relationship with God through Christ Jesus grows. We haven't dealt with it, we will most certainly do. But if you struggle with faith, if you struggle with testimonies, just hang around a couple of people with testimonies. Go have a breakfast with them, Johan. It rubs off. Faith rubs off. It's not only relational with God, it's relational with other people. How awesome is it when we get into intercession, when we get to small group, and somebody shares a testimony? How awesome is it when somebody phones you back after you've prayed together and say, "Hey, guess what? Breakthrough came." Guys, are you lacking faith? One of the nice things to do is go rub off. Go hang with people with testimony. Go hang around to see us. Yaku knows him well. That guy's just like a testimony machine. Peter in Elientron's thing this over the one about the deliverance thing one weekend a couple of months back, and all she did was mostly just rolled out these testimonies, just constantly testimonies of what God has done. And that just stirs your faith. It just stirs your faith in all areas of your walk with the Lord. So come, guys, rub shoulders with those with nice testimonies. We said to one another last week, and I'm skipping a couple of weeks for obvious reasons, we said to each other, you need to have faith like clay. What does that mean? Faith like clay is that when we walk in faith, you're not going to have the full picture. Yaku's children doesn't know everything that goes on in their household or in the budget. They need not know everything, but they trust Him. They don't worry about tomorrow night's food. They don't worry about shelter. They don't worry about a lift to school. fact, they might prefer it if there's no lift to school and they can keep on holidaying a bit longer. But the bottom line is they don't worry about those things. And there's a place where we need to be like clay in God's hands and not ask the potter, as we saw in Desire, not ask the potter sometimes, what are you doing? There's a place where he calls us out in faith to surrender, because the just will live by faith. We surrender and say, we clay in your hands. I shared a testimony on that, but we don't have time for it today. I love what we said last week. Oswald, you can go to the next slide. Thank you. Oswald Chambers said the following, and that is what we're standing on. We're not saying that I'm basic. I love your testimonies, Demi. I love your testimonies, Stephen and John. But the bottom line is, my theology, I'm not firstly, primarily going to base on your experiences concerning faith. I'm going to base my expectations, my theology, if you want to call it that, my belief, my faith, on God's word and God's character. That's a safe bet. That's a much safer bet than merely our feelings and experiences. Hi, Edna, welcome, Leif. Lekker om jou hier te. It is lekker om jou te. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. Who's been in a situation like that? We need to stir our faith. You need to believe. You need to dig deep and have faith in His goodness, what we sang about. Sing about the fact that He can be in control, like we heard last week. Decide to believe in His character, not base your emotions, your experience, your feelings, or even your faith on the set of circumstances around you. And that is important. We said to each other, guys, we need to make certain that we are certain about the goodness of God. Make up your mind about the goodness of God. Base it on the Word of God. Not past hurt. Base it on the Word of God. Because John 16:33, and here we're going to lift off from where we stopped last week. John 16:33, Jesus gave us a bit of a promise. I'm only going to start off with the second part of the verse. We'll bring it back together at the end. John 16:33, the second part says, in this world, or in the world, you will have tribulation. Not you might, not maybe, nie per ongeluk nie, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We said to one another, tribulation is all of those big words, pressure, affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. We asked it last week, who had a clean sailing breeze of a week this week? Who had it only easy, no pressure whatsoever? No pressure whatsoever. Lekker week, geen druk nie, drie van julle. Whoa, three Christians, four of them. Do we have five? Tongue in cheek, obviously, guys. I said it's a bit of a tight rope to walk this one. We're not going to fall into the negative side of things, but sometimes it's just good to not be a jabroer, but to just be clear of what goes on in a Christian life. Because sometimes you might see Edna, and it looks like she's got everything down to a T. What a blessed life. What an amazing, astonishing woman of God. Yet, there's a couple of pressures at home. Yaku smiles. Maybe Lee tells him. But the thing is, touche. But the bottom line is, all is not that perfect always in Ethiopia. We do face pressures and tribulations as Christians. And we need not then turn to God and be all mad. Because Jesus said, hey guys, take heart. Take heart, for I have overcome. So yes, it's fine to face pressure. It's fine that there's tribulation in your world. And in fact, persecution is another thing that we promised. We're not living in Asia. We're not in China. We're not out in India. By God's grace, we don't taste persecution anything like brothers around the world. Well, not yet. We'll see what the Lord does. But yes, there's pressure most certainly. Today, quickly, we're just going to stop at a fruit of faith. And today's message is entitled, The Big Piece of Faith. And peace, I believe, is something that's really, really very important. You can go to the next slide. Just quickly, we're not going to repeat it for the sake of the fact that this is the eighth time that we're doing this. But faith, we'd said, is just a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And this, that's just the general definition. A reliance, a dependence, a hope, a trust, a belief. For us as Christians, in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Bible, in the body of the saints. So it's a trust, it's a belief. it's a dependence. And you believe, you trust, you've got a dependence on the chair that you're sitting, on the fact that you get into your car, and depending on the brand that it's going to start, and you're going to get home. We've got faith in many things in life, but we as Christians are called to what? One in God. And then Hebrews 11:1, you know it offhand by now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We're not going to stop at faith. We're going to move on and speak about peace in context of faith today. Now, on Monday night, who heard that Lenten Ryan's baby, Lucas, was born on Friday evening at 9:45? Awesome, another blessing. We grow the church, praise God, quite naturally at this stage, but the church is growing. Everybody's pregnant and everybody's getting babies. So we'll lay hands on any of you guys that's visiting if you like afterwards. Is it enough by now? Yaku's got 3. Yeah, we've got a couple. But long story short, Lenten and Ryan was just sitting at our table. We were having supper together just in time before Lucas came. And I don't know what we were talking about. It was definitely not about my sermon. But Ryan said the following. You all know him. He's an engineer at Eskom. And he's quite a quiet guy. But he said that very few things is as amazing as peace. I'm like, and obviously it ringed in my heart because I knew that was what I want to chat about. And he said, peace is worth more than gold. And I said, well, just keep on prophesying. You now that you're going, I like what you're saying. And then he made the following statement, and I like to agree. Peace is the most underrated commodity in life. Coming from our own church, I think we should claim that one, put it on Facebook, and send it all out. Faith is one of the most amazing commodities, or the most amazing commodity in life. How do you respect peace? How important is peace to you? An inner peace, how important is that to you? Anybody? Any? 2 of you. Anybody else? How important is peace in your life? That inner peace. Yes. Number one goal in life. I like that. I believe that is not only true for Christians, it's true for everybody. What are we seeking? What are we yearning? What are everybody striving for? Just a little bit more money. Just that vehicle. Just that house. Maybe that breakthrough. Maybe if I make that team. Maybe if we've got that boots or I don't know what, makeup, lipstick, or teardrop Ray-Bans or whatever the case may be. If I just have that, I'll have peace. And likewise with security. If I just have enough, if there's just enough in the bank account, if just enough comes in every month, I'll be at peace. I believe Albert's right that many a times us as Christians, people in the world not even believing in Christ, all have this yearning and this lingering want for peace. That's exactly the way I got to God. Now, I'm not going to bore you with my story again, but my world was totally rocked when my father passed away, and I just totally lost the way. And so it was just this mess of a life, and especially the lifestyle and the fruit of which I have shared before, but I'm not going to share everything, but it was just a total mess. It was just like the prodigal son, and where I ended up, there was a great big facade and a big hoo-ha, and it looked all lacquer on the outside, but it was totally broken on the inside. It was totally broken and alone. Anxious, fearful, and full of stress on the inside. I remember I'll wake up in my res, my corsets, my dorm bedroom. I'll just wake up, firstly being glad that I'm there. Secondly, wanting to know where all my personal belonging is. And then thirdly, having this massive anxious feelings in my heart, being gripped by fear and being alone, and in fact just being very far from God, not knowing what the heck this was until I met Edna. I'm not going to bore you with the story. Come and have supper and I'll tell you the whole story. But the bottom line is there was a certain lack of peace, and that's what just drew me to God. It's just this yearning for, and as Albert said, I believe everybody yearns for that. However, peace in this world is something everybody wants, yet very few find. If you go look at the stats of guys that have won the lotto, guys that have really made it big and out in the media and in the secular world, those are sometimes the guys that lose their lives because of those things that they were running after for quite a while. Many a times, those are the guys that that are not being fulfilled by the things that they've chased so much. Have you chased anything that is not God for peace in your life? I have. A nice cup of coffee. A nice 3 cups of coffee. Sometimes we chase the things. We'll pray afterwards. The coffee line will be there. Beatrice first. Hello, Broerik. Anyway, we don't have one of those booths. But yeah, we chase things just to fill this void, just to get that peace, just to get that inner peace again. And we try to stick all stuff in our bodies and get all things in our lives, yet we run on empty. Now, I went, after I did preparation, I did a bit of just reading, not much. Just see what secular people, just what the outside world, we can sometimes be in a Christian box too much, and just looked on the outside, what did people out there say about peace? Buddha, those guys, what do they think about peace? And one thing that actually struck me, and I'm definitely not advocating anything else that she said or written down, was Virginia Woolf said the following. Now, she didn't like Christians or Jews. She was married to one. So please, I'm just quoting this one statement. She said, "You cannot find peace by avoiding life. You cannot find peace by avoiding life." I'm only quoting this one thing. That's so true. Many a times we do certain things. We wanted to move out to Ribe Castile, be all in the plat land, be all peaceful, out of the rat race. We moved to Mommy's, and we realized that peace is definitely not in the plat land. It's not in the countryside. That's not what my aunt might say, peace isn't Stanford. Radif, you just had your direction all wrong all the time. You could have saved yourself a lot of time. Just go to Stanford. That's where heaven is. He's almost right, but he's not 100% right either. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we chase these things just to fill this void, to get to a place of peace, and yet we don't find it there. Escaping life will also not lead to peace. Sometimes there's this relationship that just kind of winds you up. Escaping that will not lead to peace. Sometimes there's a situation in your life or at your work or in your home. It's not me. Really, it's not me. We've got a 3-year-old. Shame, we can't blame her either. But you will not find peace avoiding the things of life. That's what we said last week, is you have tribulation, you have pressure. And yes, we all want to find peace, but let's not be a people that try to sidestep it the whole time. Let's be a people that go straight forward. Let's be an overcoming people in Christ Jesus, than one that tries to dodge the bullet and then get hit in any event. We're doing the basics on faith and peace. And let's just quickly look at a definition. I like definitions. The Oxford Dictionary says the following. Not that we're going to listen too much to that. We're going into the Word. But freedom from disturbance, tranquility, a state of or period in which there is no war, or a war has ended. And then they just ramble on that definition. So everybody likes that place of peace. Will we find it on a beach? No, we won't. Will we find it in the ocean, Dirk? Not even there. A little bit of it with the Lord, definitely. Will we find it on the back of a bicycle? No, but with God, yes. What else do you guys like? With a cup of coffee? With Jesus, yes. We'll get it. With sleep? Yeah, if it's in the Lord. A center theme in the Bible is most certainly peace. You'll find it in the Gospels. You'll find it all over the show. And in fact, 429 times, apparently, I didn't go and count those ones, so please, you can go and double check and phone me. But 429 times in the King James Version, the word refers to peace. So it is something that's quite important. And Albert said it's the number one thing that people actually want. Now, shalom, you all know. Shalom is the Hebrew. And Irene, if I believe the phonetic spelling, is the Greek one for peace. Now, everybody's heard the word shalom, yes? Shalom, shalom. All 16 of you, great stuff. Now, peace there, of the definition of shalom, is only a part of it. Now, the Hebrew words, they convey more than just a word. They convey a feeling. I almost want to say a smell. Usually goes far more than what we just know in the English language or the Afrikaans language. The Hebrew for shalom, or the definition for shalom, also conveys the following. It does not only mean peace, it means complete peace. There's a difference. Who's ever been at incomplete peace? Who else? Come, guys. You must assuredly have had a moment of complete peace in your life. Yes. Unfortunately, sometimes for us as Christians, they're far and few between, and that's not the way that we should live. We're called to a place where complete peace is much, much closer to home than sometimes it is. But let's go on. It is a feeling of contentment. Contentment. Sometimes we're chasing the next thing. We're chasing the next breakthrough as Christians, the next prophetic word. We're just chasing stuff in the world. We're chasing the deadlines. We're chasing those things that people put on Excel spreadsheets. We're chasing, chasing, chasing. Yet God believes, I believe God wants to give us contentment. Completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. It furthermore says the following: completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. So shalom is pretty wide, and it sounds pretty good. It sounds like holiday, but it's real. It sounds like rest, but it's real rest. Let's move on. We're building. Who's heard of deconstructed cooking? Now that's just where you take a dish and you take the different elements of this dish, you just take it apart and then you deconstruct it to make something else of that element, plate it all together, that it looks different but it is actually the same. Now that's what we're doing today. If you don't understand, don't worry, that was just an ad break. But we're just taking the elements leading up to Christian faith, leading up to Christian peace, just taking them out, just dissecting them a little bit, to seeing where we might be missing it, and then trusting God just to be a people that lives in peace. If you didn't understand that, just ignore it. It's not that amazing. We can go to the next slide. C.S. Lewis said the following: God can't give us peace and happiness apart from Himself, because there is no such thing. Hey, how beautiful is that? We can actually end off there. God can't give us peace and happiness apart from Himself, because there is no such thing. So we've been looking at the definition of peace. Where did it all go wrong? Adam and Eve, did they have peace? Did they start off with peace? Did they end off in the garden with peace? Not at all, just a piece of fig leaf, but they didn't have real peace. What broke the peace in the Garden of Eden? Sin. Did they start, unbelief. Sin and unbelief, yes, absolutely. Did they start off in right standing with God? Did they leave the garden in right standing with God? No, they didn't. Because unfortunately, sin has entered our lives and sin has entered this world. For us to have peace, we need to have before God. Right? Righteousness or right standing. What is righteousness? Have anybody heard about righteousness in our church? Righteousness, everybody? Great, 100%. Yes. For you to have peace with God, you need to be in right standing with God. And we know how we get there, but let's not run ahead of ourselves. Let's just quickly camp down with righteousness. I would tell you that the times and the moments that you've had amazing, true, inner peace in your life were the times that you were absolutely in right standing with God. That you were in righteousness, in a place of righteousness before your God. And we know that who bought and who paid the price for that. But let's look at Scripture just to know that I'm not talking nonsense. Isaiah 32:17 says, "The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever." Who's faced the whole world, yet you knew you were in right standing with God and you had peace? Who's had moments like that? That's the ones that builds character. The ones that you know that The world might be spitting at you. The devil might be gunning you. But you know, as you know, as you know, on your innermost, in your innermost being, in your heart, that you are in right standing with your God. And it makes sense, and you have peace. And it is a sweet place to be. Psalm 85 verse 10 says, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Go, David. Quite an interesting picture that he paints there, but it's so beautiful. How peace for a Christian, our peace in this world cannot go without the sweet kiss of righteousness before God. Before one gets back to the place of right standing before our Lord. Psalm 119:165 says the following, those who love your law have great peace. God, those who are righteous before you because of your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Those who love your law have great peace. That referring to the Old Testament, Mosaic law, but these days we have the new covenant. It's written on your heart. In other words, there's still a law applicable through the Spirit of God for each of us. And if you walk according to that law, the fruit of that will be peace. To be in right standing with God. How are you feeling at the moment? Are you at a place where you can truly say, I am in right standing before God? And we're not being all religious. We're not being all condemning. We're just saying, we're just doing the math. We're just taking stock. We're just saying, am I standing in righteousness before the Lord? In other words, do I have that inner peace? The presence of peace indicates God's blessing on man's obedience and faith. The presence of peace indicates God's blessing on man's obedience and faith. So, in other words, if we've got righteousness, right standing before God, we've got peace. Now, where does faith come in? Because we need to drag faith into this, because it's a series about faith. How do we drag faith into this picture? We're saying, once I'm in right standing before the Lord, I've got this peace in my heart. We've raised our hands. We've said, I know how that feels. I know the taste of true peace. What does faith have to do with this picture? It's really not difficult, guys. It's really not difficult. I'm going to quickly read to you. It's not on there. Quickly going to read to you Romans 3:21-26. Listen carefully. God's righteousness through faith. We're just putting it back together. Remember, Demi, you understood it. We deconstructive cooking. We're just putting it all together now. God's righteousness through faith. But now, apart from the law, this is verse 21, Romans 3. Now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed. Hallelujah. Listen up. Those who seek peace, listen up. Those who want peace in their lives, listen up. Attested by the law and the prophets, that is God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe. Righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, they are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God presented him as propitiation through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate the righteousness at this present time so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Who's watched the rugby recently between South Africa and Ireland? You're very lucky that you didn't watch that. Anybody else? Who watched the rugby? Really? Okay, great. Thanks. You guys. Now, just once, you're so glad that it's halftime and you're thinking, what the heck is going on? Lord, please save the Springboks. There's an ad with a couple of guys, friends, good friends, that comes from all over the world, and they get together. And then they say, it all comes together with a yes, but it's a lie. It doesn't. It's not coffee either. It's just a joke. Please don't tell Castle. It's not a grappie. No, no, no. It all comes together with Jesus. Amen. I actually thought of that. I think there was a kind of a weird song about that some other time as well. But let's not go down that road because we're going to waste time. It all comes together with Jesus. Do we want to, in the midst of a life and a world of tribulation and pressure, do we want peace? Yes, we do. Hallelujah. We need to walk in right standing with God. That moment, that areas in your life that are in right standing with God, there'll be an inner peace. Your soul and your spirit will say yes, and you'll have a peace before God. And how do we obtain that peace? We said to one another, by faith. Isaiah 9 verse 6 foretold this prophetically about Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. This is Jesus. Just listen, just drink this in. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, talking about Jesus. And then lastly, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Guys, whatever you're facing, the Prince of Peace is the answer. It all comes together, for faith in the Prince of Peace leads to righteousness before our God, leads to the fruit of peace in our lives. Is it a once-off with salvation? No, it's not only a once-off. Is it very important that there is a moment of salvation? Yes. Who remembered the moment of salvation, the moment where you step back into righteousness before God by faith in Christ? Who remembers that moment? Was it a peaceful moment? Did there come a peace after that? Yes, there's a couple of nods. So yes, unto salvation we walk this road, but not only there. I believe, as Umyuan said, the kingdom needs to come. There needs to be a place that we have a constant, or at least battle for, a constant peace in our lives because of the Prince of Peace. Romans 5:1 says, just to show that it's in the Word, therefore being justified by faith, justified here means being righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you do not have peace, wherever you're struggling to console yourself, to have that inner peace, I can trust you, you can just go back. You can just reverse it and just ask God, God, where have my righteousness been stolen? Or unfortunately, sometimes, where have I've given away my righteousness before God, my right standing before God? And guess what? Praise God, we're not calling into works of religion. It is by faith in whom? Christ and Christ alone. It's not stuff that we need to do, but it's stuff that we need to believe and make our own, and that fruit we'll bear. Coming back to John 16:33, as we said at the beginning, this is the part that I left out at the beginning of this verse. I've said these things to you, and it's Jesus at word. I've said these things to you, that in me, you may have peace. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, you will have pressure, you will have persecution, but take heart, I have overcome this world. That in me you may have peace. Faith in Christ, righteousness before God, the fruit is peace. What else did Jesus say? Now that we know that everything comes together, if we want to be a people of peace, everything comes together in Jesus. What else did Jesus say? I love this scripture, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, Jesus at word again. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Albert said, everybody's looking for peace. It's the number one thing in life. Everybody looks for just a better peace. Here Jesus says, and he's actually answering the world. He's answering Albert. He's saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's a matter of overstating or over-marketing and under-delivering in the world the whole time. If you just go and see the marketing that's currently in the local mall, or currently on TV, or currently on Facebook, just... it's constantly saying that this thing will lead to life. This thing will lead to peace. This thing will lead to security. Yet it always under-delivers and it never produces the fruit. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whose hearts have ever been troubled or dismayed amongst us? Everybody. But Jesus calls you into a place where he says, no, 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 come to me. Be found in me. Have faith in me. What does having faith in Christ mean? What does it entail? The Word of God, the Logos, every single thing, every single promise that Jesus has given, the Gospels, good place to start. Faith in the Gospels. Faith in His Holy Spirit that is given to us, the Helper to lead you back to a place of righteousness if you stepped out. And then who else? The Father, yes. And who else? Thank you, Demi. God's people. The Demi, the Stevens, the Ralph and Biancas, and the Yakus, the people that God has placed in your life will help you back unto the place of righteousness. Those are the things that God has placed in our lives so that we can walk worthy. Now, just quickly, a testimony. What do I mean by that? Is, you know that we moved out to Malmesbury. I was without a proper income. Edna as well. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But there is one thing that I just realized is God's ways are not our ways. And in this time, there was 3.5 years, as I said, without an income. But in that time, 3 job opportunities arose. Now, when you've got a young family, you don't have a proper income. Proper, I mean, there was like 1,000 rand or 1,500 rand a month that came in. That is not a proper income for a family of that size. Even in Malmesbury, yes. Maybe in Stanford, but not in Malmesbury. And then 3 job opportunities. First 2 was in law, and the other was actually in ministry. So in this 3.5 years, these opportunities come across your way. So I'm in this constant battle. We don't have any income. We're struggling to survive, yet God is just faithfully coming through every day as He promised, not for next week, not for next month, but every day. And in that moment, somebody phones me up, they hook me up with a corporate law firm, and they say, there's an opportunity, go for an interview. And this has happened to many of you before. And now, my heart is troubled. I'm under pressure. I'm like, Lord, what should I do? And God answers me, and He says, this is not of me. So yet, everything in the world shouts at you, this thing will bring forth peace. This thing will save you. And God says, no, this is not it. It doesn't happen only once. It happens a second time. Again, a law opportunity. Again, at a countryside firm. I didn't have the job yet. I could have gone for an interview. And there was somebody that was well connected there. And again, I went to God and I said, Lord, all this pressure, all this tribulation, not in those words, but you get the picture. You go and shout out to God, God, is this your answer? Is this the way that you will bring forth righteousness and peace with you and peace in my heart? And God just says, no again. And then we knew we were going to ministry, and an opportunity came, and God clearly spoke that evening to us, and he said to us, this is not me. This is not my will for you. And that was just before the end, before breakthrough came, and I'm like, Lord, this is crazy. You feel like dying on the outside, yet for you to be in right standing with God, you need to hear what He's saying and you need to be obedient. And in this place, you step out in obedience. Hell, it felt like all hell broke loose for your emotions and on the outside, but yet in your spirit, you know that you are in right standing before God, and that produces a fruit of peace. In that process, what did I need? I needed the Word of God. I needed to see how God operates, and I needed His character. I needed to know the Spirit of God, which He gave to me freely as the Helper, to speak to me in the night where I say, Lord, this is the opportunity we've been waiting for. And He says to me, no. And then, not only that, because I don't want us to go loose and freak out and do all weird and wonderful things, then I also had the people of God around me. There was at least 4 or 5 people that we were accountable to, that we phoned up, people whose fruit we knew, and say, look, you guys, this looks like common sense. We need to take this. Yet God is telling us, no, please go and pray about it. Please come back. And luckily, by God's grace, it was the same message that came back to us. And was the Prince of Peace that took over. Guys, we will face these situations that the world will promise you a certain amount of peace. If you just get the salary, if you just get the job, if we just get the car, if I can just have the bicycle, if I can just have that thing, that other coffee machine. It's a joke, Karin. If I can just have that other thing, it will all fall in place. Yet God says, no, that is not the peace that I give you. I give it in a different way. Practically, what does it mean? It's a day-to-day thing. It is a day-to-day thing to walk with God. Isaiah 26:3 is beautiful. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trusting God is not on a Sunday and on a Wednesday for a small group meeting. Trusting God is a 24/7 thing. Walking in peace, walking in righteousness with God, to put it differently, is also, I believe, to walk in the Spirit. I love it. Paul says it all over the show. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes some people might say, but Ritif, why do you pray about a parking place? Why do you pray about going to for coffee at Wimpy or going to Spur? Why do you pray about this or why do you pray about that? Have you ever seen Kari will start walking one of these days? Wolfie probably thinks on Monday because he's a proud dad. But she will start walking one of these days and it will be a momentous occasion when she gives her first steps. It will probably, hopefully, be caught on camera. They'll send it to the omas and opas. It's a huge thing. It will be difficult. A lot of attention will be given to that first few moments that she gives her first steps. It will be amazing. We will freak out about it. When Usain Bolt, somebody that probably by looks of things can use his legs, when he walks, do we freak out about it? When he puts one foot in front of the other, do we freak out about it? No, we don't. If he runs very fast, yes, then the world freaks out about it. But we don't when he gives a couple of steps. Now, sometimes that's the same for walking in the Spirit. At the beginning, it takes time and effort. It needs some concentration. It needs stop, listen, stop, listen, stop, listen. It seems mechanical. So some people might say, you're not free and you're all religious. And I say, no, we're learning to walk in the Spirit. But later on, you become like Usain Bolt, and putting one step in front of the other is not that difficult. But guys, take the time to learn the art of walking in the peace of God. Not if there's one thing you do. If there's another thing you do, a very important thing, learn the art of walking in the Spirit. Learn the art of walking in constant righteousness and peace before God. There'll be no greater blessing for us, just your church family, for your own family, and for your life if we do that. And even if it sometimes feels a bit mechanical, now I'm praying on a Monday and I'm praying at work and I'm praying about what to say and I'm praying to what client to phone first and I'm praying and I'm praying. Later on, it just becomes more fluent as we walk in Spirit, as we know the peace of God. We all have been found in that moment. That moment, you can go to the third one, thanks, 4.3. The next one, thank you. We all have that moment like they had in Mark 4. You remember, they got into the boat, Jesus and the disciples. Storm broke out. I'm not going to read the whole story, we don't have time. A storm broke out. And Jesus was asleep. So they had this moment where they said, we are going to die. He stands up, he rebukes, calms the storm. He says, peace be still to the waves. And then he turns to his disciples and says, well, don't you have any faith? Now, that's just a symbolic picture, I believe, of what sometimes can go on in this inside of us. We'll have those moments in our life where you face the end of the month, where you face a big breakthrough or a deadline for a breakthrough, where you face certain atrocities or adversities in your life. You have those moments, but you need to find out, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? What is Jesus saying about the circumstances? Because Jesus is the key to what? The right standing before our God. To know what is God saying about this. Guys, it's not only sin that keeps us, even though to a big degree it is, but it's not only this massive sin things that keeps us out of the righteousness of God. It's sometimes not having a godly perspective over a situation that takes us out of the righteousness of God, accordingly steals our peace. If something really tough happens in a moment, and you can tap into what God is saying about this moment, I'm sure, and I can promise you according to the Word of God, that you can have peace in every situation. Remembers the ad, it's not inside, it's on top. Well, in this case, it's definitely inside, it's not outside. Jesus calls us not to a place where we sidestep life, where we sidestep pressure, where we sidestep each other or tribulation. He calls us to a place where peace comes from the inside, where He is in the boat. But you need to hear what He says. You need to know that you are in right standing with your God, not through your own righteousness, but the blood of Christ. I want us to stand, and I want us to pray. Karin, kan ek jou leen? Kan die koninkryk jou leen asseblief? Ja, asseblief. Dis jy wil profeteer of sing, is welkom. Let's just close our eyes, God. Guys, and Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Father God, that sometimes in life we face these moments where we want to freak out. Our flesh freaks out. Yes, there's a place where you call our spirit to peace and our spirit man then to rule so that peace can come from the inside. Lord, you don't necessarily almost take away the storm firstly, but you call us to a place of inner peace so that we need to trust and believe what you're doing first. I just believe we can just quickly stand still at this place. If you're facing one of those moments or an area in your life where it feels like torment, where you're anxious, you don't have an answer, you definitely don't feel in right standing with God, you don't know why, but you can't hear Him about this situation. You can't hear Him about this set of facts at the moment. You can't hear Him above the waves and the wind in this moment. And you want to come back to the place of right standing through Christ Jesus. If you're facing a moment like that, do you want to have the boldness to raise your hand and we're going to come around you? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Nice and high, guys. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you see these hands. I want to ask you guys to come forward. We don't usually do this, but please, if you've raised your hands, come and you feel peace in your heart, just come forward and you can just come in a line here in front, and then I ask the cell leaders and Yakin and his team just to come and pray with us. Just come and pray with somebody. As we start praying, Lord, I just thank you. So just another second and last thing, I believe. If you trust in God to walk in the Spirit, in your life, you sometimes just jump from one fear to the other, from one anxiety attack or one stressful scenario to the other, that sometimes things in your life is fear-based or fear-driven. But you want to be someone that walks from peace to peace through righteousness, through God and Christ Jesus. If you just want God just to teach you and the help of the Holy Spirit to help you with that, just to be a man and a woman that walks by the Spirit and walks by the peace of God, just raise your hand and I'm just going to do a corporate prayer for us. If you just want to grow in that. Lord, I just thank you for these hands, Lord. And I just ask Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, please come and counsel and help us to know how to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, to have faith in Christ, His Word, His promises, His character, to always know that we are accepted, to know that we are sons and daughters of God, and to walk in that boldness and faith, Lord, and for the fruit of peace to come forth in our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'll just help all of us that have raised our hands to grow in this. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Christ over us, and we say thank You that You will do that. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. The rest of you guys, you can be seated and just spend a moment with the Lord as we just come and we pray for our brothers and sisters here in front, for the God to bring forth His wisdom in that moment. But let's just stay in this moment and please intercede for them as we pray for them.